You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
You won't need to need to use the restroom. We're not going to be here all that long. We never are. We're out of here pretty quick. And when we finish tonight, then the refreshment bar will be open. Is any birthday cake left? Mo's birthday. Stand up, Mo. Stand up, Mo.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mo baby. Happy birthday to you.
And add Sammy to your prayer list. That's her husband. Yeah. Right. Anyway,
in the wrong key.
Thank you for being here. We're going to have a great time tonight, Brother Charles.
Well, I didn't get to tell Brother Leland that the song we were really planning and wanting to do, it just didn't quite come together tonight, so we're not going to do that one. But this one's pretty unique, too, and I just love it. One night he wandered into that old mission, the one down on the poor side of town. He really had no interest in salvation, just a place to lay his drunk old body down. He said, "Ma'am, I sure am hungry. I don't have a penny to my name. Lord knows I haven't worked in a month or Sunday. Dirty, dead broke, and so ashamed. I need bread and water. Ma'am, that's all I need. Just some bread and water. A place to rest my feet. She said, "Sir, you're welcome at this table. Brother, you look like you could use a friend. There's no need to pay if you're not able. Even Jesus was a homeless man." Then she pulled out the word, started reading about the Savior and a woman at the well. She said, "It ain't for me to judge this life you're living, but only Jesus can save your soul from hell. Oh, his blood is the water, and that's all you need. Just some bread. To rest your feet. Ain't too proud. about his head. He kind of choked up. But they spoke every word of our Lord's Prayer. Then he closed his eyes, never woke up. He found bread and water waiting there. Friend, it's bread and water. Man, that's all you need. Just some bread and water. A place to rest your feet. God's bread. Jesus' blood is the water, a place to rest your feet. And if you ain't too proud to get down on your knees, the blood and water's free. Yeah, the blood and water's free. Thank you all so much. God bless you.
All right. Good song. Good song. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Matthew. And if you'd like to turn there and do not have a Bible, if you'll lift your hand, we'll get you one. Okay. We got some guys coming around with them. Let me tell you this about those Bibles. If you do not have a Bible here with you, then keep that one as our gift to you. I'll just be, you feel free to keep it. If you're not, if you're just going to use it tonight, if you put it on the table at the back of the room when you leave, we'd appreciate it. What we've been doing here for the last 3 weeks is we've been talking about this last sayings of Jesus Christ on the cross. He spoke seven times. First time he spoke, he asked God's forgiveness for sinners. Forgive them, Father, they know not what to do. Second time he spoke, he forgave a sinner. He told that criminal, that felon, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Third time he spoke, he took care of something that might have seemed very minor in this transaction, but he took care of his mama and had one of his disciples to make sure she was taken care of. Tonight, we're going to read about his fourth saying. Matthew 27, and we're going to begin reading with verse 38. It says, then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders. That's a religious crowd. I'm going to say this because y'all will understand it, but I'd rather go minister in a prison any day in the church. And you go tell people that get mad at me. Okay. He said he saved others. They knew exactly. They knew that. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we shall believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth, Now from the sixth hour, that's noon, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this wasn't an eclipse. The sun just refused to shine because the Son of God's on the cross. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? During his arrest and trial, he said nothing. As he was sentenced to die on the cross, he made no comment. When they nailed him to the cross, he never cried out, he never moaned. When they cursed him and spit on him, he never retaliated. He never talked back to them. When his own disciples forsook him and fled, he never said a word. But when God forsook him, now we hear him screaming, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Give three things about God that we'll learn from this experience, or that Christ learned, that the world learns from reading this. Number one, God is holy. Now, that's not a word we talk about. Now, that's not a description we give other people. You say, well, he's a good old boy. He's a nice guy, but I've never heard anybody say he's holy. But God is holy. Isaiah said, back over in the sixth chapter, hold your finger, we're coming back to that a lot, but over in the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 4, Isaiah said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. God is holy. Now, because he's holy, he makes no exceptions, even with his own Son. You and I make exceptions. We get pretty down on stuff, and we're just against the homosexual crowd till we find out our granddaughter's lesbian. Now all of a sudden we kind of lighten it up. We do pretty good until they get in trouble about something, or we have a friend or one of the family members, and so now we take a different look at it. We're not quite as holy. We don't have quite the convictions that maybe we did before that. But God will not let sin slide. If there ever was a time that we see this, it's going to be at the cross. His own Son is having to pay for sins. If a man's going to go to heaven, somebody's got to pay for his sins. And the only one that was holy was Jesus Christ. So not only did he die for our sins, but he had to take the punishment, the penalty of it. Look at 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he, speaking of God, hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. For Christ also suffered for sins. Here's somebody who's never done anything wrong. Everything he'd done was good. He'd give the blind sight. He'd give the deaf hearing. He helped the lame to walk. He fed the hungry. And it said, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. You and I should have been on that cross. And yet Christ is there. And he suffered that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And through all this, as he's taken our sin, as God has turned his back on him, as God's forsaken him, because God's holy, he can't look on sin. Notice that Jesus still claims God. He said, my God. He didn't say, God, God, why have you forsaken me? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken? It's easy to cling to the Lord when things are going good. It's amazing. When God's blessing us, we're good Christians. But I'm going to tell you, when the fight comes, I got a letter today from a guy in Amarillo prison. And he said he prayed for his mama and God hadn't healed her. One fellow said this. He said, you know, if we prayed as hard to keep people out of hell as we pray to keep them out of heaven, everybody gets sick. We pray they live. Hey, if Christian, let's just go on to heaven. You know, man alive. But we pray and God doesn't do what we said do, and now we're mad at him like he owes us something. Books that'll tell you how to get things from God are bestsellers. Because we're wanting to know. We go to the book, we don't know how to pray. What's the tricks? What's the magic words to get what I want? And we want stuff for God. It's all about us. Have you ever thought about the fact that most of us are more concerned about the gifts than we are the giver? Yeah. We need to be worshiping the giver. Well, I've got this gift. I've got that. And everything's about us. It turns on us. Jesus is going to die alone because he's taken mine and your sin. Third thing about God is that God is honest. You listen to this carefully. Way back in the book of Genesis, when it was just God and Adam, before he created Eve, God said to Adam, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't say you might die. There's a good chance you're going to die. In all probability, he said, thou shalt surely die. And in the very next chapter, Satan shows up and told Eve, you shall not die. God's lying to you. Well, he knows that if you eat that tree, you're going to be as smart as him. You're going to know good and evil. And boy, we love that because we want to be in the know. We want to have some information to pass on that nobody else has got. Have you ever noticed that? We just love to tell stuff and be the firstest with the mostest and telling some kind of deal. But Satan said, you're not going to die. God said, thou shalt surely die. Now let me tell you something. And keep this in mind. Truth trumps love every time. Do you realize that all of God's love of any kind is centered around his son? He never loves outside of his Son. The greatest verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What? Gave his only begotten Son. Yeah. Romans 8, it talks about the love of God. Turn there with me if you would. Romans chapter 8. The last verses of that great chapter. Romans 8 is the Holy Spirit chapter in the Bible. There's more references to the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 than there is the entire book of 1 Corinthians, which deals with the gifts of the Spirit. That's why I'm saying the giver is a whole lot more important than the gift. But notice, verse 38, last two verses, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, where is it? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where the love of God is. It's around his Son. Ever since God told Adam that, and they sinned, and the Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death based upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's two types of death in the Bible. There, death is always separation. Natural death is a separation of the spirit and the soul from the body. Every one of us will experience the death of somebody in our family, probably this year. We'll experience the death of a friend. Every one of us will experience death. And when the spirit and soul separates from the body, that body's through. You get nothing out of it. It just lays there, can do nothing, make no decision. Spiritual death is the separation of the spirit and the soul from God. And that's the worst kind. Men have been dying ever since the day that they disobeyed God. God said, they thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Satan said, no, you won't. And Adam and Eve picked who they were going to believe. They had faith in the devil more than they had in God's words. They made a choice. We keep making the same choices. Bible says, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. If we're going to die, we're going to be judged. Which brings me to this. The fact that God provided a Savior is proof that he means business. See, if God didn't mean every threat in the Bible, And we're told by preachers, we're told by a lot of people that God loves everybody and is too merciful to carry out the threats in this book. And man, they're in there. Be sure your sins will find you out. Look what he did to the world in the days of Noah and left eight people. Look what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Read the book of Revelation. You say, I don't understand it. Don't pay attention. You just read it. That's the only book in the Bible that God promises a blessing just for reading it. Just read it. It's Mark Twain that said, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things in the Bible I do understand that bother me. Yeah. We think he's not going to carry out these threats. Let me tell you, if God, Romans 8:32, if God spared not his own Son, don't think He'll make an excuse for me and you. When it came time, and God loves sinners, and the only way a sinner is going to get to heaven is his sins are forgiven, and the only one who could do that was somebody that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. If God poured out his wrath on his son, be assured that he'll pour it out on us if we do not know his son. Turn with me to the book of John, if you would. John chapter 3. Last verse. John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath, notice, not gonna have, might have, will have, hath, present tense, has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see wrath, but the wrath of God abideth, present tense, right now, on him. Bible said we don't go to hell for the things we do. In John 3:18, after that great verse 16, that God so loved the world, it said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Somebody said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's probably true. But the wrath of God abideth on those without Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So Leland could get to heaven. So Brother Doug could get to heaven. So Craig could get to heaven. That's why. God made him to be sin for us, and he knew no sin, that we, the righteousness of God might be in us. Should have bowed your heads. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. You're here tonight, and maybe for the first time, you've realized what Jesus Christ did for you. Or maybe you've known it for a long time and just put it off. Whatever the case may be, you say, Leland, pray for me. I want to know this Jesus. Anybody that would love me that much and actually suffer the pangs of hell for me, I want to be on his team. Pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? God bless you. I see your hand. Yes, and yes, yours and yours in the middle here. Yeah. Slip it. Yes, hon. See yours and yours. Yeah. You slip them back down. Anyone else, real quickly, pray for me. Listen to me carefully. Now, this is the most important part of what we're going to do tonight. I want to pray. While I pray, I want you to say, dear Lord, I want to get it straight tonight. I want to leave here knowing that I'm your child. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed? Our Father, you've seen the hands all over this building, all three aisles. Father, we pray that tonight people will be transformed from hell to heaven, that lives will be changed, souls will be saved, and your son would get the glory. In his name we pray. Head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. His brother Charles begins to sing, "Just As I Am," without one plea. I want you to step out on the very first verse and say, "I want Jesus to be my Savior." Would you come right now? Come on. Yes, sir. Come right on. Come on.
And waiting on to raise
the Lord's.
My soul.
Just a minute. We'll have somebody with you. Come on.
To thee.
Come right on.
Whose blood can cleanse each mind.
What God wants you to do, you lifted your hand. Now take the next step. It's going to take some courage. He died for you. You live for him. Come on. Right now. Yes, sir. Come right on. Yeah, come right on. Charles to sing one more verse. That'll be our last one. Have you done what God wanted you to do? Is God speaking to you? Are you saying yes or no? Go ahead, Brother Charles. One more verse. Come on this one.
Just as I am, you will receive, you'll welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because your promise I believe, O Lamb.
Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that have come. Thank you for those that are trusting you tonight. Father, the greatest miracle.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.